Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Based on a story by Pete Hamill, two friends from a Brooklyn grammar school reconnect and realize the impact they and their work had on each other. A Poet Long Ago, directed by Bob Giraldi, screens at Film Columbia in Chatham during their shorts program on Sunday. In the film, Sonny, a sanitation worker, and Malloy, a newspaper writer, meet by chance and reminisce about their grammar school days together back in the 1970s Brooklyn. Immediately, an old wound is opened. Flashbacks show Hal, the least likely of the pair, had his astonishing gift of writing poetry beaten out of him forever by the narrow-minded father hellbent on protecting him. Bob Giraldi is a longtime director who's done everything from directing the film Dinner Rush to directing the music video for Michael Jackson's Beat It. Pete Hamill is widely known for his contributions to the New York Post and the New York Daily News as a columnist and editor, and of course as an author. It's a great pleasure to welcome both Bob and Pete to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Great to be here.
Good to be here.
So how did you come to this story, Bob?
I've admired Pete's writing for a long time. New York writing at its best. Stories about people that I sort of know, grown up with. And I came across an article that he had written for, I think it might have been the Daily News or it could have been the Post, but it was a newspaper article called A Poet Long Ago about Sonny and Pete meeting recently to go back in time and talk about and reminisce many years ago. And this gift that Sonny had that influenced Pete to showcase the gifts that he has now. And I'm the father of a young girl who goes to high school in Brooklyn, and she coincidentally has a gift for writing poetry, and there was just something about the story that connected to me, how a father can have the audacity and the ignorance to beat out a marvelous gift of creativity from a child. So I knew I had to put it on film.
And you always knew it wanted to be a short film.
It is a short. It is. People have said to me, gee, I love these characters, Bob. Let's do more. That's nice. Thank you. But it's a short. It was a short meeting when they met. It's a short reminiscing. It was a long childhood, perhaps. But I wanted to tell the story about what really happened.
And Pete, it's a short story.
It is a short story. And it was part of a whole project trying to bring the short story back into daily newspapers, something we'd had before with O. Henry, for example. Every single one of those stories was a newspaper story. People like Mark Hellinger, etc. There were precedents. And out in the wider world, Alberto Moravia in Italy wrote most of his short fiction for a newspaper. Kafu Nagai in Japan wrote most of his short stuff for newspapers. To counterbalance the kind of melodrama that was taking over the hard news, you know, that everything felt like it was done in italics. And I wanted it to be short and tight and make us more human at the end.
And the story was just published in the collection, The Christmas Kid, which is just out. In looking at that story, how much of it is based on a real experience you had?
Probably about, not that I had, but that I heard about, probably 60%, 70%. Mm. The great advantage of fiction is you can put several stories together. You're not trying to write testimony in a court case. You're trying to write a tale of the way people really live in a city as screwed up and triumphant as New York City. And so what I did, I took the advice of Irwin Shaw once, said to me in a conversation, if it happened to you, make it about somebody else. If it happened to somebody else, make it about you, meaning use the I to bring you closer to the subject of a story. So this was one where it was part me and part some other people that I knew, and I put them all together into one stew.
So it seems like both of you know these guys.
I do. I know the kind of childhood Sonny had. I know his parents. Thank God my father wasn't of the immigrant mind that he was scared or shallow or short. He allowed me to be who I was, and this wasn't the case with our Sonny and our story. And it's really at the heart of the whole film, the road not taken. Sonny could have been a writer, poet, a journalist. He could have been Pete Hamill. Pete was influenced by this and became Pete Hamill, the author. So it goes deep. I live my life making short statements, obviously television commercials, music videos. I am enamored and fascinated by how much you can get into such a short space. And I think today, more than ever, the future is short. We're all about short content, especially with our young people and their attention span. So I saw it screened recently with some other shorts, and I realized it was only 12 minutes, and everything today is maybe 13, 15, 18, 24 minutes. And I realized that I was proud that it was the shortest, but still had a strong story that everybody got.
It really does have a strong story, and it's so emotional in that time period, in both the flashbacks and of the contemporary scenes.
I also think we have to give due to Steve Sciarrippa and Boris MacGyver, two of the adult actors in the movie, because they make it happen. Tougher actor like Boris, as good as Boris, to sit there and let an actor like Steve go off and tell his story of when he was a young man. And that really is, the discipline of good acting. And they make it work.
And there's so much that is there that isn't said, that isn't articulated.
There's
an undercurrent.
There's an undercurrent, and if I've learned anything, in all the years that I've made this short stuff that I make, it's that less is more, is that an audience, an intelligent audience, will find the unwritten words. They'll find the unwritten, unsaid meanings. They know. They can piece it together. You only have to do a second flashback and somebody gets it. It's scary.
How familiar, how excited are you, Pete, to have your work be filmed?
Oh, I'm very excited about it. For one reason, that when I was learning how to write fiction, the most useful books to me were not about writing fiction. They were books about acting. They were Stanislavski or Michael Chekhov or a variety, several others. Because the actor has to make emotion visible. Now, he doesn't have to do it by yelling. He can do it with a raised eyebrow. But he has to make emotion visible to move the emotions of strangers sitting in that audience. And once you can do that, as a writer, you're on the way to doing something with fiction. Most fiction, most novels, all derives from theater. They all come from things as old as the Greeks, from theater, of making visible the tale of the human race, the true tale of the human race, which is not about statues in the park. It's not about generals. It's about enlisted men. And they're out there lifting garbage up 3 days a week still, who might have had other lives, which is what this story is about.
Bob, in the making of the film, you obviously have the story that Pete wrote, but you also have Pete. So how did you use those two to your advantage?
Well, Pete is marvelous to create with and collaborate with. We, a while back, spent some time in Mexico together, or New Mexico, actually, it was, and we're working on a story about stickball, which obviously has its roots way back as well, and something that both Pete and I can relate to. Never went anywhere, but it was such a great little story and great fun. So I've always felt that Pete and I were, you know, brothers somewhere. Me from New Jersey, he from Brooklyn, but we were brothers. And now we collaborated on this. And he did what I admire in most writers. He said, "Bob, I've taken it as far as I can. Now you have the vision. I trust your vision. Let's see what happens. Let's see what comes of it." Also, I might give Pete credit as the casting director, because he's the one that found Steve Sciarrippa. And I guess walking down the block one day, they bump into each other, and Steve looks at him and says, "Sonny." And and we have lunch together, and I look across the table, and I see Steve and say, "Sonny." Yeah. And there it is.
And is that a part of the creative process that you like? I would think very different than writing.
Well, in the sense that chance and accident always play roles in writing or poetry or fiction.
Art in general.
Or life in general. You make a left on Rivington Street instead of a right, and you run into the woman you marry and live with the rest of your life. It's a chance. It's part of all classical drama. And sometimes the luck is bad, and you got to be prepared for that too. But it's bad luck and good luck. It's life, its old damn self. When you wake up in the morning, the Italian philosopher Antonio Gramsci always talked about optimism of the will and pessimism of the intelligence, which was a pretty good mantra to those of us who live in New York.
And this film will be shown with others as part of Film Columbia Festival in Chatham on Sunday morning. And you like that idea of them being shown with other great...
I'm not so sure. I, for one, I'm proud that it's in Film Columbia. It's a smallish, little known-ish, I think, film festival held in Chatham, New York, but home to a lot of very, very smart, good, productive film people. It's a terrific festival, and I'm always excited about going up there, you know, for that week or weekend. I'm not so sure, though, that short films deserve or should be put together, strung together like they are now. I think we're coming into the time when film festivals had better consider short filmmaking as maybe their lead or one of their lead projects. We're playing to an audience that wants to see and understand short movie making. I would prefer it if these shorts were before each film, for instance, each feature film. That might make some more interesting programming. But for the time being, I'm with five in total, short films. And by the looks of them, they sound like they'll be very good films. And I'm proud to be there. But I think the short film is going to leave the off-Broadway and make it to Broadway very, very shortly. Forgive the pun.
Well, right. Because
just as an example, the short story as written by Alice Munro, just won the Nobel Prize in Literature. She has 13 books. That's 13 collections of short stories. No novels by this Nobel Prize winner. So it might be what Bob is talking about, a moment being announced, if people would pay attention to it.
And didn't we see a couple of weeks ago the Emmys, which was the beginning of the passing of the torch of the most important entertainment to Americans, at least, is now television, which is made up of short, creative content, and not Hollywood. Hollywood has begun to take a bit of a back seat. The feature film is not as important, not only to consumers, but to actors and writers and producers and directors. Television is the place to be today. There's a reason for all of this.
I love the opportunity in both reading your work and also seeing a film of that opportunity to think about it. And I feel an advantage of just because I just saw your film and then I get to talk to you about it. So that I very much understand what you're saying, because it's that opportunity to just see that and work with that and think about that for a while before something else comes up on the screen.
We don't need too much more. I mean, I see feature films, obviously, as much as the next person, and the majority of feature films I see are over after 45 minutes. It's over. Everything here is just sort of follows a formula. And that's the one nice thing about the short film. It's about relationships. It's a little bit more intelligent or sophisticated in a sense, because it doesn't have time to follow the formula of car crashes and things being blown up and arcs and 15 reasons, you know, steps along the way that feature filmmakers have to adhere to. So I'm excited about the short film we just made. I'm going to take Pete to lunch now and see whether he has any other short films in his bag of tricks.
Sounds like a great lunch. A Poet Long Ago is directed by Bob Giraldi, based on a story by Pete Hamill. The film will be shown 11:30 Sunday morning as part of Film Columbia in Chatham. You can go to filmcolumbia.org for more information. Filmcolumbia.org for more information. Bob and Pete, thank you so much for joining us this morning. What a great pleasure.
Our pleasure.
That's great.
Thank you. Again, you can find out more information about Film Columbia by going to filmcolumbia.org, A Poet Long Ago, being shown as part of the short selection on Sunday at 11:30 at Film Columbia in Chatham. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.